So there have been so many events unfolding in my life and all culminating together. And I'm here to talk about it. I've been gone for quite a while. I've been extremely busy. And I apologize for the time I've been away. Without further ado, we're not going to delay this any longer. On today's show, Catch Up with Sierra. That is the focus of this edition of Expressions. Everybody, and welcome to this edition of Expressions. I'm your host, Sierra Tavares Reyes. Today's topic, Catch Up with Sierra. All right, you guys, so there have been so many things going on in my life. I have been extremely, extremely busy, very, very busy. And let's start from the top here. So on February 24th, someone in my family passed away. I had a death in my family. Someone who died from esophageal cancer. And then on March 8th, my uncle got diagnosed with that same cancer. It was just really weird. But this happened after the jab. So between, you know, one family member and then another family member looking, watching everything just kind of unplay or unwind or, you know, unfold and seeing somebody you love suffer the same fate. It's really been tough on me, really been really, really stressful. And I'm just not sure that I can handle going back to New York and dealing with another funeral. I lost my grandmother in 2017, I believe. My mom, I lost her in 2013. And it's just like, I don't know if I have the strength to keep dealing with this. And so I've been in mourning lately and just really trying to push through life because it's just, there's a lot of death going on right now and a lot of things. And then I have another family member who's just wasting away and using recreational substances. I can't really say, but, you know, trying to help her through what she's going through. It has been really, really stressful on me. A lot of heavy burden. So I've been dealing with that. And then I wanted to get to, sometimes I feel like there are like not enough hours in the day to like get things done. Cause I'm always like doing something. And I was like, you know, the time goes by so fast and I'm not even talking about like the time, like the faster time. It's just been in general. And so, yeah, it's just been really, really tough dealing with a lot of stuff and just trying to stay focused. And I'm trying to paddle my way through it all, you know. I sent out a cease and desist letter to InfraGuard DHS, the Fusion Center of Washington State and Neighborhood Watch, for the organized contract stalking. And believe it or not, it's still continuing to happen. I've been under a lot of police surveillance lately, so that's been a big issue because I pretty much see them every time I turn around, every time I leave my house, but they're watching me in my house as well. So a lot of stuff going on with that, but you know, just the same old usual, it doesn't stop. Everybody knows that it doesn't stop, you know, they don't quit. So they'll try to make it not look so obvious or try to modify things, but you know, anyway, so let's get on to, leaving America. I am so tired of America and America's bullshit. I'm so over living in this country and I want to leave so bad. You know, I just know that financially I'm not ready. I'm passport ready, but you know, I'm trying to find the job. It's very difficult. I'm struggling with bills, trying to pay rent, trying to do this. And it's like, you know, I could get a job or could try to get a job. You guys know I'm not going to have it for very long as I'm in this program. Everybody knows how that works. It's really, really tough trying to balance life and trying to be in a caregiver to someone I need to take care of. It's really, really tough to balance all that out and everything. So yeah, I've been looking into so many other countries because I just want to leave America permanently. Now, some of you are going to say, "Oh, well, Sierra, gang stalking is in every country." It is not in every country. It is not in Taiwan. It is not in Kosovo. Kosovo is near Serbia, Albania, Macedonia. It's not there because they're not a part of the United Nations. So people just got to do your homework. But people, they always just want to put that in your head to make it seem like there's just like no escape and like there's nothing you can do. And I don't believe in that. And even if it is, so what? Okay, if it's in every country, well, I guess it's not going to matter, right? It's not going to matter where I go. Okay, it does, but because this is not about me trying to run from organized contract stalking. I just don't want to be in this country. I mean, all the stuff that they're doing, they're sending money and foreign aid to foreign countries, but we're not helping our own people. And you help your own people. People are sitting here. There's people here on the streets that are homeless. I used to be homeless. I know what that is like. And to once you start to see that now, it's like a crime to be homeless. It's like, is this the way we treat people? Like, this is cruel and unusual punishment. Like, what is the world coming to? This is the way we're going to treat people that need help. And then I keep seeing comments, people are saying, oh, they're lazy. Oh, they don't want to work. In the country of Finland, they house you first and they deal with your mental health issues later. The reason why people are out there struggling and doing things that they shouldn't be doing to themselves. It's because of the predicament they're in. It's not just, everybody knows that when you are homeless, it's not just rent that you pay. You have to pay for lights, gas, water, trash, sewer, garbage, whatever the case may be. And, internet, that might cost something a month. People are not like, I don't understand how people can say that, oh, well, they're all on recreational substances and they're all strung out and this and that. They're all lazy. How dare you make a blanket statement against a group of people like that? That's like saying that all black people are inherently criminal and that all white people are racist. That is not fair to sit there and say that about every single person. So it's like, unless you've been homeless, unless you've been out there yourself, you have to see for yourself what that is like. Because there are people that are homeless and that have jobs and are still homeless. So what does that tell you? That's why when you apply for an apartment, they say you got to make two or three times the rent because you have to eat, you got to pay bills, and you got to pay rent. If you have a car, that's another expense. Internet, that's another expense. So all your money is gone. And depending on where you live, major cities, Massachusetts, Boston, for example, LA, New York, Seattle, Chicago, all these places, the rent is like super, super high. Some people they're raising the prices of fast food. So people who, that's pretty much going to be tough to get, for homeless people who are trying to find a way to eat. Some places it's like $11 now, Big Macs and stuff like that. If that's what they're doing is spending money on for survival for food. But I'm telling you, this country has just turned into a pile of ashes. And it makes me depressed being in this country. It really does, because I'm just so tired of seeing all this stuff go down. I'm just so over it. I'm just so tired of America and all the stuff that they are trying to do. And now they're trying to ban TikTok. And I'm like, really? They want something that they can control. They're trying to control the flow of information. This is an election year. So, like, everything all makes sense. Why don't they ban homelessness? Why are they not trying to help Americans? They don't want to help American people who are out there suffering, but you can help everybody else. It's like, why aren't crimes being solved and missing children spending money into that and helping, improve this country in such a big way? But they don't want to do that. The priorities are all jacked up, and I'm just so over it. Now, some people are sitting here saying that the reason why they're banning TikTok is because it's freedom of speech. But technically, I would not call TikTok freedom of speech. Maybe Twitter, you can call Twitter X freedom of speech. You can call Rumble freedom of speech. But TikTok, I would not call that freedom of speech at all whatsoever. I don't believe that that is a freedom of speech. I wouldn't say that. Because you have to modify and censor your words, and you can't say certain things on there, and the over moderation is just insane. We'll be right back.
Just don't know what happened, 'cause things just will end. But here we go, back down the road. That's just the way that it goes. 'Cause we made it this far, for better or worse. I wanna feel it, even if it hurts. If I gotta cry to get to the other side, as long as you're there.
We're back. And so anyway, the over moderation, it's like really, really out there. Like I said, you can't say certain words. It's just insane. Like, if you tell the truth about COVID or something of that nature, they'll censor you about that. And that's a whole nother topic, of course. But, they put you in Facebook jail. You start telling the truth about this or telling the truth about that. So, and people are sitting here talking about, somebody really made me mad yesterday when they said, "Oh, you're allowed to free speech, but you're not allowed to spread misinformation and tout out conspiracy theories." And I got so enraged by that comment that I had to go on TikTok live, because I'm just like, what is your problem? I was like, here's the thing. Truth is being touted as misinformation. Okay? Truth is now becoming hate speech. It's the basically, they want everybody on this single world government. That's what they're trying to do. They want everybody thinking the exact same thing. And you should be able to say whatever is on your mind, because we have a First Amendment. What is it that people are not understanding about that? Whether or not you feel like somebody is lying or not, okay, they are allowed to voice their opinion, whether you agree with it or you think it's a lie or not. But it's up to you to do your homework. Okay? Nobody should be getting flagged because they're spouting lies or whatever, because people are going to do that all the time. Okay? But if you are a person who goes into a social media platform, like I said, or excuse me, let me put it this way. If you, let's say, for example, okay, if it's okay for someone to spout quote unquote misinformation, right? Okay, and to be into Facebook jail or to get a flag on your account, right? Then let's apply that same logic, which is something that's about to happen in Washington State, where I live. What if somebody said, called someone a racial or homophobic expletive, right? Because you disagree with the way someone lives, or you disagree with with someone's skin color, okay? And you were jailed for that, and then you want to cry, "Oh, that's free speech." Okay? What's the difference? Because this is the world that we're moving into right now, because they already said that that's what's gonna happen. That is a bill that is gonna be passed and be put on the governor's desk to sign. So, and then they said there's gonna be like a hotline. So if anybody is caught, condemning someone or basically using any kind of expletives, racial, homophobic, or whatever, anything towards any group of people, marginalized group of people, or, you know, whether it be towards Jewish people or Muslims or anything, there's a hotline that you're going to be able to call and report this person and serve jail time because of that. Is that okay? You know, some people are going to say, no, that's not okay. This is America. You're allowed to say whatever you want to say. Oh, yeah, but you just can't do it on social media. You know, that's a double standard. Okay. It's not right that you say that, but technically it is free speech under the United States Constitution, you know, but it's not polite and it's not right to use those terms towards anyone for that matter. But I'm just so only saying this to try to prove a point here, folks. But yeah, we're about to be censored. We're about to be, you know, everyone's going to be under this mass surveillance. I'm telling you, the world is changing. The NWO is coming and it's already starting to happen. It's already starting to happen right now. So people need to pay attention. People need to wake up. And it's like, I feel like, you know, America wants a society. They know that on TikTok, people are unified. People are, you know, you have a following. People have jobs and small businesses on TikTok. America does not care about, the American government is saying that, oh, well, TikTok is a security risk and is spying on innocent Americans and stealing and selling our data and all that other stuff. And Facebook got caught doing that. And nobody said nothing when Facebook did it. You know, Google does it all the time. Microsoft does it. You know, when you are on the grid, this is what happens. WhatsApp, anything, all the social media platforms, they do all that stuff. You know, so it's like basically because, you know, America wants to control everything. They want to control the flow of information. Nobody's watching a mainstream news media. People are learning things off of TikTok that are not going to be shown on the mainstream news media. You know, people are finding out the truth. We're finding out how to heal ourselves from TikTok. You know, the mainstream news media is not going to show you these kinds of things. America wants a dumbed down society, basically full of robots, you know, brainwashed, indoctrinated, and not knowing any better. They don't want a society of independent thinkers. Okay, i.e. George Carlin, you know, who said that, okay? So that is the issue with that. People need to wake up. I'm telling you, this is just insane. This is insane. I'm just like, wow, you know? So, yeah, this is basically where we're headed, folks. People need to wake up and smell the coffee before it's too late. Some people are still just trusting the government. Oh, the government would never do this. Oh, the government would never do that. And oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, just wake up, okay? America is not the greatest country in the world. It is not the best country in the world, you know, and they always talk negatively about other countries. They talk bad about Mexico. They talk bad about Thailand. They talk bad about all these other countries because they don't want you to go there. They want to scare you into staying here so you can become a slave. And then it's like, you know, you work all your life and all the American life is the same. It's all about big cars, who's got the nicest car, who's living in a mansion or got the nicest house and who's making all this money. And it's like, okay, well, what's the point of, you know, making $4,000 a month if you never get to keep any of it? Because all you're doing is paying bills. You know, paying bills, paying rent, paying bills, paying rent, paying bills, paying rent. It's just like, it's the same cycle. And then you retire, what, for like a measly, like 10 years. Like, again, I don't understand why this country is so great to some people. What is the point of you celebrating the 4th of July? And that's, if you do, that's your thing. But why are we celebrating a country that does not treat everybody equally? Why are we celebrating a country that does not help their own but helps everybody else. You know? So these people that are coming across, the migrants or whatever, there's nothing wrong with migrants coming over. We're all immigrants somewhere, right? Okay? But when you start giving them incentives like housing and free healthcare and all that other stuff, what is that all about? That's what I want to know. That I just don't understand that. Why do they get all of these incentives, but Americans are on the street homeless and sleeping in camps, and they're in motels, and they're in places, and they get, you know, gift cards and all that other stuff? What is about to happen? What is the reason behind all of that? There's something up with that. And I'm just curious to know what that is, because I do not know. Crime is going up and everything. So, oh boy, it just goes on and on and on. And it's just, like I said, I hate this country. Oh, Sierra, that's unpatriotic for you to say that. How dare you say that about the own country? Yeah, I can say that because I technically have freedom of speech. I can say whatever I want to say. I don't have to love this country. I don't have to love America. Oh, if you don't like it, why don't you get out and leave? Oh, believe me, sweetie, I am trying to do that. I am trying to do that. And I don't want to look back because there's nothing here for me, okay? So that's just is what it is. I don't really care. I don't have to love this country. Because I was born here, so what? You know, everybody can voice their opinion the way they want to. You know, there's nothing for me to love about a country that targets its own people and doesn't care about its own people. Michael Jackson even said it, that they don't really care about us. We'll be right back. And we're back. So, now let's get on to the nitty and the gritty. So, moving on to something else, another topic here, folks. I might have to be relocating and moving out because the landlord refuses to do his job. Okay. Now, some of you may have remembered when I posted on TikTok, YouTube, about my bathroom's leaky. There was a panel above my shower, and it was a maintenance emergency, and it was just leaking and leaking and leaking and leaking for the longest time. There was chemicals, you know, the smell of bleach was coming out of there, okay? And all of that leaking in up there caused some of the sheetrock to peel away and all of that, right? Well, I didn't think nothing of it. They came, they fixed it over a month's time. Someone broke in, I think probably the maintenance staff, because this is who's doing this stuff, you know, whoever's doing these black bag jobs. And there was an electrical outlet that was near my electrical outlet near in the living room. Behind my deep freezer, and the panel was like protruding out, that was creating a fire hazard, a plug that I use. Okay. I was pretty shocked by that. That was considered a fire hazard. And then there was a tile on my bathroom floor that they popped loose. That was deliberately done. I tried to close it. They kept opening it, close it. They opened it. It's just really silly things. And then the caulking along the tub needs to be recaulked. And these are things I put in a maintenance request for them to be fixed. January 22nd, I got a letter from the King County Housing Authority to let me know that they were going to do an inspection, okay? And they were going to do an inspection, and it's to be done by February 22nd, so it will pass. And I forgot to also mention, I have a roach problem, not because of me, because somebody else has roaches. And guess what? They came into my house and I have not been able to get rid of them. Well, pest control came and they came only one time and they sprayed and that was it. And I thought that, okay, well, I see a few roaches still left. I said, maybe they'll just come out and die. No. Those things did not get fixed, by the way. And February 22nd, the housing inspector came and I cleaned up the house. I cleaned and scrubbed the walls, all that other stuff. And he said that he couldn't even step inside the house because there was a roach infestation. And again, the roaches probably were coming from upstairs because every time I would look, they would be crawling down into my apartment. Okay, I know the neighbors upstairs, they have a lot of kids and all that other stuff, so they're probably not the most cleanliness of people, because I don't understand, you know, where else they could be coming from. They're coming from up, because that's where the direction. I never had roaches when I was homeless, so that was kind of a bit of a shock. So the house inspector came out and he was like, you know, he said, we can't come in because you have a roach infestation. I'm like, okay. And then he was like, there's going to have to be two more treatments done. And I'm like, okay, well, two more treatments come. Okay. I informed the landlord about what was going on. I said, these things have to be fixed. Right. And, they were not. So I had been emailing and I was like, what's going on and everything. And I had emailed him in between January 22nd, and February 22nd to letting him know I was, you know, in a state of panic. Cause I was like, I'm going to get this done and get the inspection passed. Right. And, he didn't really respond to email. He just totally ghosted me, did not respond to email at all. And I'm over here like, okay, why is he not responding? I'm like, these things are not like even major issues, folks. What the hell is going on? I'm like, why is he not responding to my emails? Okay. Now let's fast forward, right? Today is March 13th. Okay. Let me go back just a little bit. So, okay. The first inspection failed on February 22nd. Okay. King County Housing Authority sends me another letter. Okay. February 22nd to March 22nd. Okay. That we're going to try. The landlord has 30 days to fix all of these things. Okay. And they said that if the tenant does not report these things, then, I could lose my housing or whatever. And of course I did my part. I've been telling this man about this stuff for a long time. Okay. It's been over a month. What is your excuse in not fixing these things? Oh, I can tell you, maybe the deep state went to you, the FBI, DHS, or the Department of, Bellevue Police Department probably went to you and told you, hey, don't help her. She's a bad person. She's a terrorist. She's da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right? That's probably why you're not responding back to my emails, because this is all of a sudden, because it's like you and this maintenance guy are like all involved up in this, and that is totally fine. I get that. You got to do whatever they tell you to do, you know, and you're not to question that and you're not to override that. So, I think it was Monday, this past Monday, I went into, cause today is now, what is it? Today's Wednesday. This past Monday, I sent an email to the landlord and let him know that these things need to be repaired. I contacted the King County Housing Authority. I contacted the housing inspector. He said the things will be done by this week. But he did not respond to me in an email. He responded to me after I went into his office. Now, I didn't go in there with no hostility or aggression or anything of that nature, because I don't believe in talking to people rudely or anything of that nature. That's not polite. That's not nice. You know, I save my anger for private, you know, but I try to be as professional and kind, as polite as possible. But, you know, so I was like, okay. And he said, oh, he already knew what I was going to say, you know, oh, we'll take care of it. And then as I'm leaving the office, guess who's coming down the stairs? The maintenance man, right into his office. Okay. So I'm like, okay, Monday passes, no maintenance. Tuesday passes, no maintenance. Wednesday passes, no maintenance. So we got, you know, 3 days of absolutely nothing going on. Okay. I was like, let me contact my case manager from the King County Housing Authority and say, what is going to happen if they do not fix things within this allotted time? And then she was like telling me, she said that I will have to relocate. And I said, okay, okay, I'm going to have to move because the maintenance guy didn't do his job. Okay. And I'm like, well, what's going to happen to him? Like, he's not going to be reprimanded. He's not going to be fined, because I'm sure that if he was fined, I think he would get on it. Right. Nope. Nothing is going to happen to him. All they're going to do is just stop, you know, the payments. As if he cares. All they're going to do is just get somebody else up in here. They don't care about money. I live in Bellevue, Washington. It's like the Beverly Hills of Washington. Okay. So they'll just get somebody else in here with money. They don't care. So I just feel like, you know, this is all a ploy to keep me on the go. You know, that is what, you know, it's like shaking the paint so that it doesn't settle. And then even if I do move, even if I do relocate, right? Even if I do move and I do relocate, and by the way, I forgot to mention, I'm going to have to relocate on my expense, which means that because this guy and his staff, maintenance staff, did not do their jobs, I have to pay for movers, I have to pay for boxes, and I have to pack up all this stuff, which is like 5 jobs in 1. Okay. It's going to be a pain in the butt to pack up all of this stuff and have to start over somewhere else. I don't know where I'm going to be. And I can tell you this, whatever I decide to choose, it's not going to be a place where I'm going to be. It's not going to be a place where I choose, because they're going to choose it for me. Trust me, even if I have multiple options available. We'll be right back.
Unbreak my heart, say you love me again. Undo this hurt you caused when you walked out the door and walked out.
So yeah, it won't be a place where I'm going to be able to choose where I want to go, because they're probably going to give me, like, let's say, for example, there may be 10 places, right? And all of them are going to, you know, be within the gang stalking situation or something or another. That's probably what is going to happen. I don't know. But it's not going to be in a place where I'm going to want to be, even if I wanted to stay, but this is what they want to do. And I was like, the only time that I want to pack up and move is when I'm leaving America. You know, that is the only time that I want to pack up and move. You know, it's really tough. Like I said, you know, trying to find a job, trying to struggle with that. And remote jobs are not, they're not very easy to acquire. If I had my nursing license, I would probably go straight back into nursing. But I can't even do that. You know, I'm getting too old for this bending, back breaking, and, you know, comprehensive assessments and medications and all that other stuff. I don't want to deal with all that. You know, you guys know how that would be. drama on the job, not getting along with other nurses, and just, sabotage at work. You know how that is. That's why I want to work from home, work from anywhere, work for a few hours a day, and just really enjoy my damn life, not have to worry about none of that stuff. But anyway, so yeah, it'll be places that'll be picked. They'll hand pick with gang stalking and everything that I dealt with here. It's just going to happen over there. It's going to be the same cycle of abuse under a new landlord, landlady, whatever the case may be, but they just don't want me to be stable. This is just part of organized contract stalking, and there's people here that should leave. You got a woman that tears up her entire apartment, throws trash everywhere, but y'all are going to get rid of me. Y'all want me to move, it's crazy. Yeah, because you've been told some lies about me or whatever, whatever. And you have to do what you got to do. People have to submit under the authority of law enforcement. And like I said, you're not allowed to question. You're not allowed to think independently. You're not allowed to override that. So, and like I said, wherever I go, the harassment is going to continue in that new place. So, and I'm just really uncertain about what is going to happen. And so I'm probably just going to start, start looking for a new place, start boxing my stuff getting some boxes ready and everything, because I don't know what's going to happen. I do not have confidence to know that this man he's not going to be able to do two pest control treatments within the next 9 days and fix these things within the next 9 days. He doesn't have to. And it doesn't matter that I've been trying to get him to do it. Because again, what's going to happen? You think I'm going to sit around here and try to take him to court and go to court and all that other stuff? No. Who's got time for all of that? I don't have time for none of that. And then he'll just retaliate. And then, it's just, nobody's got time for that. It's not that deep. It's not that serious. I mean, it is, but it isn't. They want me to go. Fine. It's not a big deal. I just need to know what I'm going to do, because I don't want to sit around here, waiting around at the last minute. Just tell me straight up. You don't have to sugarcoat nothing. You can just be blunt. Look, hey, should I just start packing? Should I start moving? Should I start looking for another place? Because you guys are not responding to my emails. Okay. And I've been emailing the King Island Housing Authority. I'm struggling with bills. I have a balance I have to pay of $1,000, still trying to work on that. It's tough. It is tough. It is really, really tough when you're dealing with all of this. But yeah, this is just all of a sudden. So I'm thinking my lease is up in August 1st of this year. So if March 22nd comes around and I have to move, that would be, let me see. And I have 3 months to move. Okay. So that would be March, let me see, April, May, June, and then July, August. And there's two extra months there. So yeah. They want me to move. That's what happens, So I just want to be prepared to hear bad news, because like I said, they let a whole month go by and they didn't do anything. And it's looking like it's heading that way again. And rather than to be like, okay, well, I'm gonna just wait till the 22nd, see what they do. Cause they're not gonna do that. They're not gonna do that. Right. So there's that. And then moving on to something else, I just found out someone who I trusted and let into my life that I've known for years is actually a perpetrator. Yeah, you heard that right. Someone that I've been talking to for a very long time is a perp. If I make a post and I'm talking about perpetrators, right, and I say, why didn't you tell me you are a perp? If you're not a perp, why would you respond to that? Why would you say, who are you talking about? You kind of give yourself away. The guilty speak the loudest. And this person would always try to argue with me about different things. We come from two different worlds. I'm pro-LGBT because I had a best friend who was gay, lived in New York in the village, and his parents were so disapproving, and his dad and his entire family, they were a bunch of pastors and preachers, and they tried to beat the gay out of him and all that other stuff, and he ended up spending his birthday in the hospital. There were homophobic expletives written in chalk in their driveway, and he's black. Not that that matters, but being black and being gay in the church, and how society shuns upon that and everything. And I have been an advocate for quite a while, and he could not get the love of his family, and they thought that, okay, you're around a bunch of pastors and preachers, and you're in the church, and he was forced to stuff his sexuality in the closet because, of course, it was just seen as something that was immoral or whatever, and it was against God, as people say. And I'm gonna be doing another podcast about LGBT issues, and everything. So, but people are just so closed-minded, and once he came out to his father did not talk to him for 20 years. For 20 years he didn't talk to him. And like I said, mom was just, she was like, telling telling him like, you're you, 'cause I think there was like a, he brought like some magazines or something like that with some Naked Men or something like that. Was it Playgirl? I don't know, something like that. But under the bed and in his book bag and all that other stuff, and he had like some playing cards and all that stuff. You guys know how that what I'm trying to say. Got to be careful what I say here. And she was like, "You bring this filth into my house," and she said, "God is going to punish you by giving you that disease." Those were her words, and you know what she was trying to say. But that's the way she worded it, and that's the way she phrased it, and stuff like that. And so, after so much pressure on him and to try to conform, and he had a nervous breakdown, and he even went to as far as getting electroshock therapy because he didn't want to be he didn't want to be gay because he knew, how society would feel about that, but that electroshock therapy, or like what is it, aversion therapy, was not a fix. It does not fix you. It does not change you. People have to stop acting so new, and just understand that people are people. No one chooses to be gay, and there's nothing wrong with being gay, at all whatsoever. This next part is really, really tough for me to talk about, but I'm going to mention it here. So, after not getting the love and approval of his family and being torn between trying to being forced to be heterosexual and trying to conceal his homosexuality, that was like a really tough thing for him. So, and then all the stuff that he was having dealt with, the bullying and the homophobic expletives, and the societal pressure, the nervous breakdown, he ended up taking his own life. And that was really, 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 really devastating. Really, really devastating to me to know that that had happened. And I was very, very hurt by that. And this is my best friend, and ever since then, I had been an advocate for LGBT people, because it's just, I don't understand how, if you have a child and you love them before they tell you that they're gay, I don't understand, as a parent, as them being parents, how that just can change like that. We'll be right back after this.
It was a clear black night, a clear white moon. Warren G was on the streets trying to consume some skirts for the E.
so I can get some phones, rolling in my ride, chilling all alone.
Just hit the east side of the LBC on a mission trying to find Mr. Warren G. Seen a car full of girls, ain't no need to tweak. All of you search know what's up with 213.
So I hooks a left on 21 and Lewis, some brothers shooting dice. So I said, let's do this. I jumped out the rock and said, what's up? Some brothers pulled some, so I said, I'm stuck.
Since these girls peeping me, I'm gonna glide and swerve. These looking so hard, they straight hit the curve. Want to bigger, better things than some horny tricks. I see my homie and some suckers all in his mix.
And so people are going to sit here and talk about the Bible all day. It's wrong. It's moral. It's immoral. It's unnatural. It doesn't lead to procreation. Your body was not meant for that and all this other stuff. And here, I mean, they say the same stuff over and over and over and over. Or it's gross. I hear people say that. So let's talk about, you know, what's natural and what's unnatural. Okay. There's a lot of things that are considered unnatural. Driving a car, that's not natural. Okay. Does this mean that we shouldn't drive cars? Okay. Some people said, oh, it's gross. Okay. Well, in 1967, Loving versus Virginia, where interracial marriage, you know, the Supreme Court ruled and said that it was okay for black people to marry white people. Some people thought interracial marriage was gross. Okay. Or they'll say, well, it wasn't meant for that. Okay. So people who are born deaf can only use their hands to talk with. Okay. So your hands were not meant to speak with, but this is the only way that they can communicate. Another analogy that you could say too, you know, what is the purpose of the mouth? The mouth is made for speaking. It is made for eating, and you breathe out of it. So if you kiss your girlfriend or your boyfriend, can we use that same logic and say, well, your mouth wasn't made to kiss on people? Okay. And then finally, of course, they say, two men sleeping together does not lead to procreation. Okay. So therefore it's wrong because you don't produce children. Two men cannot reproduce. And you're absolutely right. Two men cannot reproduce if they decide to sleep together. Two women cannot reproduce if they sleep together. But you know what else? Okay. Can a man sleeping with an infertile woman, can they reproduce? Absolutely not. So does that mean that that's immoral too? Does that mean that that's wrong? Because they can't reproduce if sex is only there to procreate. So should they just not have sex? Also, is oral sex considered immoral and wrong? Because that doesn't lead to procreation either. Because some of you all do the oosh-squash, and lapping it up like a rattlesnake. And you think nothing about it. And nobody goes, oh, well, that's immoral. That, you know, masturbation does not lead to procreation either. So are we going to say that that's wrong too? And so the bottom line is that people have these ingrained prejudices. They just, you know, just because you don't understand something, you know, doesn't make it wrong. It doesn't make it right. And then, of course, they'll always go to the Bible says this, or the Bible says that. Leviticus 18:22 and 20:13, you know. So you're basically going to say that the Bible is a moral compass on living our lives. Levitical law is a moral compass on living our lives. And most of the time they'll say yes. And I'm like, okay, well then how about reading Leviticus 25:44-46, which says that it's okay to own slaves and beat them as long as they don't die. So, and then, oh, they said, oh, well, that's taken out of context. Okay, well, what's the context? And then there's radio silence after that. The Bible says a whole lot of stuff about how people should and should not live their lives. Okay. But as a Christian, you cannot evangelize and antagonize at the same time. You cannot sit here and say that you want to inspire somebody, but you insult them at the same time. And another issue I have, it's people are okay with condemning members of the gay community, but nobody ever says anything about the gay hairdresser because he's good for business. Nobody says anything about the gay choir director because he's good for business. You know, as long as the choir sounds good, we're not going to say anything about his sexuality. As long as you hook my hair up, you know, no one's going to say anything about you and your sexuality. Nobody says anything about the gay makeup artist. As long as my makeup looks fleek, then we're not going to say nothing about your sexuality. And that's exactly what the slave master did to us. They dehumanize us, they degrade us, and then they use us to our advantage. It is the same script, different cast. I wish people would stop acting so new and acting like that this is something totally new. Gay people have been all around the world. Stop acting new. People want this black and white binary world where everything is easily compartmentalized, but there's always going to be people out there that are going to challenge those categories. So the next time you think about saying something mean or wrong or immoral, you know, please don't. I don't understand how people can just, you know, you're judging someone based on their sexual orientation. It's basically the equivalent of judging someone based on their skin color. You know nothing about this person, or you didn't know anything about this person, and all of a sudden you find out, let's say, you know, that they're African American, you're judging them, and all of a sudden you go to this negative place. You meet someone who you think is a nice person. All of a sudden they tell you and they come out to you as gay, and all of a sudden you go to this negative place. You don't get to really see the person. Everybody needs to see each and every individual and take that person for who they are. I'm Sierra Tavares Reyes. Have a good night.
The Expressions Podcast has been brought to you by Anchor. Like what you just heard? Then please submit a small donation to sustain future episodes at anchor.fm/Sierra Tavares Reyes. Thank you.